Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's matter time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 145. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen. Clausen, how are we doing today?
Not bad. Closing in on 150. And I didn't really have much to say for this one. Keep an eye out for episode 150, by the way. Probably going to be a big one. Definitely going to be a big one. So I decided to look up this day in history. And apparently, January 17th, when we were recording this, was a very big day in history. Ben Franklin's birthday. Betty White's birthday.
Huge.
Muhammad Ali's birthday.
Massive.
Huge.
Wow. A lot of big birthdays. And happy birthday if you're born today. It's like almost guaranteed you're going to be famous.
Pretty much. And today was also, I'm not going to do the math, 1893. The Hawaiian monarchy got overthrown.
There you go. I didn't know that.
They had a monarchy.
I didn't know that either. Are there any Red Sox players with a birthday today? I feel like that would kind of forecast a good season, no?
It's also Jim Carrey's birthday.
Okay. All right. The Grinch. There you go.
James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big day.
Loaded day. Loaded day.
Big day.
It is, however, not been a loaded week for the Boston Red Sox. Another quiet, very quiet week. We don't have a ton of stuff to talk about. We're still going to make today's episode entertaining. In fact, I think our approach today is going to be talking about things. I feel like we've got some questions to answer, or like kind of just like concepts to talk about. I feel like today might be a little bit different. I mean, we've really got no news to talk about. And I feel like we kind of revisit these topics of like the lot, like basically since we've started the show, like ownership not wanting to spend that much money, Red Sox not being that aggressive in the free agent market. Like, talked about it a lot, but I feel like now it's getting to a point where a lot of fans are like very frustrated.
It's a weird offseason. You look at the numbers, and the Sox, I think, are eighth in spending.
Are they
this
that
offseason?
High?
No one signed anyone.
Yeah, I mean, there's
still. Who's still left?
There's still
all the
some
good
big
pitchers.
Name? Yeah.
Stroman just signed with the Yankees, which is kind of weird. They're going to have Verdugo and Stroman on the same roster. I can't imagine that's going to go well. But it's just kind of this weird offseason. It's there's not much to talk about. Everyone's impatient, and reasonably so. Everyone's kind of expecting this huge free agent class to start falling like dominoes. And we had this kind of sprint at the beginning where we got Ohtani and Nola signed right away, and you know, a couple other big guys signed right away. And now it's just dropped off a cliff. There's no activity.
Well, I feel like, for the most part, there were two big fish in the pond, obviously, with Ohtani and Yamamoto, and there was great buildup to both of those signings. And you know, the Ohtani signing is going to be one where you remember where you were, you remember when you know you first saw the numbers. Like it was a huge contract, and then Yamamoto, obviously. A lot of people, I think, were expecting Ohtani to go to the Dodgers. Then, you know, Yamamoto, I don't want to say follows him there, but I'm sure Shohei had some sort of influence in that. And then as you move along, the two big pitchers, I mean, Nola was kind of that third guy, and he signed that extension pretty early on in the winter. You know, Snell and Montgomery are still sitting out there. We're into the back half of January now, and those are really, you know, the two big guys left. Like, there are some other, I wouldn't even say stragglers, because there are some decent names out there who could still eat innings for the Red Sox. But I don't know. I think if you told most fans like where we were at in this offseason, like who the Red Sox had gotten, probably pretty disappointed.
It's all relative though, because who's still left? There's still a decent amount left. You can make you can round out a really good offseason with the free agents that are left and the trade pieces that you still have. It's just that everyone's just kind of sitting on their hands, and no one's willing to make a move.
I think that this market right now is actually very beneficial for the Red Sox. And I think that the longer that this period with Montgomery and Snell kind of, longs on, I think the Red Sox, I'm always trying to stay optimistic, but I think it does benefit them. I think the price for Snell and I think for both of them has probably dropped. Maybe not the average per year, but I'm curious about what the holdup is with both of these guys. I mean, again, we're getting into the later parts of January here, and there hasn't even been like a team for either guy who's been, like quote unquote the favorite, this and that. Like, I feel like there have not even been many, many rumors, so to say, about, either guy. So I wouldn't rule it out of the question that the Red Sox get one of them. I wouldn't. And I think, as you mentioned, Clausen, like you sign one of them and then a good trade for another pitcher, whether that be a sure thing bullpen arm where you can move, someone else into the rotation or another quality starter along with a Snell or Montgomery. I don't think you can then look at this roster and say that it's worse than it was last year. I
No, and I
think.
think as it stands now, I would argue that it's worse than it was last year. I think they've filled a few holes, but I think overall, it hasn't done anything to stand out in any way that it is far and ahead better than 2023 was. And I'll backtrack a little bit. I would actually disagree with you on Snell and Montgomery's price, because I think as you go on, you have to consider who gets more desperate. Or who can get desperate first? And I think you have to look at teams and managers and GMs who are looking to round out their rotations and their rosters. Yes, money gets tighter the further you go on into the offseason, but at some point, teams are going to be saying, all right, we're X amount of weeks out from spring training, and we don't want to have Blake Snell, who's going to be our ace, walk in on the fifth day of spring training. Because he waited until March to sign. You know what I mean? These guys can hold out because they know they'll get a contract. So they can hold out longer for more money.
I don't know. I think, I don't know. Again, we'll see. My only thought with that is you go back to like a guy like JD Martinez, who signed very late into the winter. I believe I know, I'm pretty sure spring training had already started. It was late February when the Red Sox had signed him. And I know that the market kind of around him had broken down a little bit. And so that's my only hope with those two guys. And obviously you need a lefty starter. Like, we talked about both of these guys, like, so much this offseason, so much. Like, it gets to a point where it's like, there's not even rumors. You just can't even speculate anymore. So, everyone knows these guys would be good fits as long as it's not like an 8-year deal. They're both good pitchers. They're both lefties. They'd both be, probably the best. They'd both be the best pitcher on the Red Sox staff. So I think you're just kind of holding out and waiting to see. But I think the big news of this week, and I think, Clausen, you made a good point, is that this offseason is still salvageable and the Red Sox have done some interesting things. But for the more casual fan, I don't think it's totally unfair to say, obviously signing Lucas Giolito, signing or, trading for Tyler O'Neill, like trading away Chris Sale, like those aren't the type of moves that are going to make people want to go to Fenway. Like, obviously, if the team is playing well, people are going to want to go to Fenway. But you bring in big horses, big pieces every, couple years, and people want to come see them play. Like, I remember trying to coordinate going to games together to see Chris Sale pitch. I remember, I never saw David Price pitch in person, but like, same thing. They haven't gotten a guy who's going to sell tickets. And so I think the frustrating thing for a lot of fans this week, and the new thing on Twitter is the new popular thing is people saying that they're going to boycott Red Sox games this year. So I want to hear your take on that as, someone, you live close to Boston. Like, I'm in the city. I know you're talking about moving in, at some point during the season. Like, being so close, being such a big fan, I want to hear. I think we both have interest. Like, I think we both have valuable kind of pieces here from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, and maybe this is me being someone who makes content based on the Red Sox and as a diehard fan myself, I think it's a loser take to say let's boycott Fenway. I mean, what are you doing? You there is
100% agree.
I'm trying to put it in the right words because yes, there is an aspect of it to where the fans can't just let the ownership get away with doing nothing. This is the Boston Red Sox after all. The fans expect them to be competitive. The fans expect them to at least put forth an effort to win and an effort to improve every year. But at the same time, I don't think that voicing that displeasure through boycotting is the right way to do it, A. And B, I actually don't think it's sustainable. There's 162 games.
They're going to catch fire at
What
some
else is,
point.
I mean, think about it. It's a warm July night. It's a Friday night. What are you going to do?
You'd be crazy if you'd think I'm not going to Fenway with a couple of friends, drink some beers, and watch the Red Sox. Like,
Exactly.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm sorry.
So there is a certain amount of it's not really the right move. These ownership groups have too much money, and there isn't, like the A's, for example. Not that the A's have the most passionate fan base in the world, but how long did that boycott last? And what did all those sell the team chants do?
It was one game where they got a pretty solid crowd, and then,
It's not sustainable. People will come around to it because they'll realize that they're A, still watching the game at home. They're still tweeting about it. They're still watching all the highlights, and they're still going to want to go see Raffy Devers go hit and Tristan Casas improve and all of these great pieces go and Brian Bello throw a gem against the Yankees. It's just not a sustainable way to do it, and it's not going to work.
Here's the thing too, is Boston, obviously one of the bigger baseball markets, or at least you'd hope it would be in terms of spending. There are a lot of people who travel to Boston for weekend trips. I wouldn't say Boston is a vacation destination, but it's a great place to visit. It's a historical city. There's a lot of cool things to see. And if you're someone who doesn't live close to Boston, not in the New England area, and you even semi like baseball, Fenway Park is an experience everybody, most people want to check off in their lifetime. If you had to ask most people if they could go to one baseball stadium, if you had to go to one, which one would you choose? Like, I do think a lot of people would choose Fenway Park. So again, like the owners, like I think the tough part here is just what, like, the wording of everything and their message. Tom
They're
Warner,
contradicting left and
it's
right.
just there's no, and I felt this way almost since we've started the show, where it's just flip-flopping back and forth. They're trying to cut salary, they're trying to build up while not spending money, build up the farm system. I mean, Tom Warner, you can't come out and say that you want to go, what was it, full throttle? Was that the wording this offseason? And then we're sitting here in, mid-January, and the only signing, big quote unquote signing, is Lucas Giolito, a guy who's struggled the last 2 years. I mean, I can understand why that's frustrating to people. And then he backtracked on that. We'll get to him and Breslow talking in that interview yesterday in a little bit here. But you can't come back and I'm trying to, he said what? It wasn't the most artful or tasteful remark. Something like that, like kind of, backtracking. The thing is that fans are allowed to be annoyed. They're allowed to be this. But the Red Sox fans who can, say they're not going to go to games, that makes up such a small percent of the total population of Boston Red Sox fans. You've got to think of all the people in New England too who save up. I mean, Red Sox games are extraordinarily expensive to
They're
go
too
to in j
expensive.
what?
They're too expensive.
They're too expensive. I mean, you should be able to bring your family of four and not spend $500. There are many families like in the New England area who will save up to go to one game a year. I mean, you can't find parking anywhere close to the stadium for $60 or less, So you can't tell me that You know, if the Reds like that family is gonna boycott the Boston Red Sox. I just don't see it. I think I agree. Like the Red Sox are a staple. They're not trying to tank. They're trying to, you know, rebuild. And I think if the owners had come out a couple years ago and said, "Hey, we need a couple years to build things up," and just been a little bit more transparent, and you see this prospect pool coming up. I'm not saying that it hasn't been painful. Like it absolutely has, but I think it's a bad take. I think you just, I don't know, doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, I think the thing that doesn't sit right with me is, you know, number one, your point being about the cost of tickets. And John Henry said this last year at Winter Weekend, you know, you need high ticket sales to be able to sign big free agents.
People
And
loved that one.
you know, look, I don't mind if the Red Sox walk out of this offseason and didn't sign the biggest pitcher on the market and didn't sign who's the biggest hitter, Cody Bellinger.
I mean, I guess Shohei.
He's kind of a class of his
Yeah.
own. But so, I mean, Shohei aside,
I
you
guess
know,
Cody. Yeah, I forgot he
so, I
still hasn't
mean,
signed.
do you really want Cody Bellinger?
No, I don't.
No, exactly. So, the thing that isn't going to bother me is if they walk out of the offseason and they don't have Blake Snell and they don't have Cody Bellinger, that's fine. I don't want Blake Snell and Cody Bellinger doesn't really fit. And I think that's just a misallocation of money. If you're giving Cody Bellinger a ton of money and signing him to a big contract. But I think the thing that irks me more is that there's reports coming out constantly about Red Sox are in talks with this guy. And then 3 days later, Red Sox lowball X. And then a week later, Red Sox are interested in that guy. 3 days later, Red Sox lowball Y, need to shed more money. And it's one of those, you know, you're the Boston Red Sox. Yes, you are pushing that luxury tax, but if you're going to come out and say you need to spend all this money, you need to give us this money so that we can spend it back, and then don't spend it at all, or act like you're strapped for cash, that irks me, number one. And number two, what was my other point? Oh, it's not like the Red Sox have a bad team either.
Totally. I was just
It's
going to
not
bring, yeah.
like they're the Oakland A's or some team that has no marketable stars. You
They're not
have
like the White Sox, too. Like,
no, you have the best third baseman in baseball. You have Tristan Casas. You have Jarren Duran, who is a human highlight reel.
who would have thought we'd be saying that a year later?
Not me. Not me. But you have pieces on this
Story,
team.
Yoshida.
Exactly. You have pieces on this team that theoretically can put together a winning above 500 baseball team. So people are going to go and watch that. You know what I mean? Not many people go to Red Sox games unless you're talking about Pedro or John Lester or Josh Beckett. I mean, in our lifetimes, how many times, and Chris Sale, I suppose, but how many times have you said, I'm going to go to Fenway to watch this guy pitch? No, I went to Fenway to go watch Big Poppy hit or Mookie Betts hit or Raffy Devers hit. You know what I mean? It's an offensive team. It always has been in our lifetime. And they have offense.
I mean, they do. They got Casas too. Well, you brought him up already. Like again, I think this team can be really good this year. I talked about that last episode. I'm not going to go into it again. And I also think that, yeah, like basically you nailed it on the head. What I was going to bring up is that this team is not, it's not terrible. Like
They
it's,
were sixth in average last year.
yeah, I mean, like there are things that still need tweaking. Like again, they need another pitcher. They need another pitcher. I can't say that enough. Like that is the weakest spot on this team. But like, I am comfortable where the offense is right now. Excuse me. And if they do struggle, if guys go down, like again, you've got a plethora of prospects who are, you know, borderline ready to come up and dip their feet in the water for a little bit. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, they're still young. And so, again, like, I understand the frustration. I understand this. I understand that. But Fenway Park is going to be packed on opening day. It's going to be packed on Patriots Day. It's going to be, you know, busy throughout the summer again. It always is. It always is. I mean, like even the last 2 summers, 2 years ago, like, you know, when I was living in the city, like it was still packed every night. When there is no school the next day, Fenway Park is always going to be packed. And so,
What's like the worst year? 2012 was a really bad
2012
season.
was terrible.
Let's see where they were in attendance. Eighth.
Eighth. And also, is that by like capacity or total?
So average.
Yeah, it was
Well,
average. And
so.
that's great because hold on. Fenway Park, I believe, is the second has the second lowest capacity in the MLB, only ahead of Tropicana.
Yeah, so wait, let's go to percent. Yeah, I mean they were averaging.
Like
All right,
36
so
a
if we go
year.
by percent, so this is, I don't know what it's a percentage of, but they were highest in percentage, 101.4%.
Like let's check out 2023 MLB attendance. I don't know why they're not doing.
See. Wait. Yeah, I mean they were so 32,000, just under 33,000. It's the average.
I think last year
They were
was.
all right, so they were 12th.
Yeah, I was gonna say last year was a little bit lower, but
This can't be right.
I'm trying to
St.
find
Louis was averaging 40,000 fans.
that stadium is big. That stadium is big.
Cardinals were terrible. Yeah, I mean, all right, so I guess they're 12, so I guess they've taken a dip.
I mean, but again, that is by like total capacity. I can't find any numbers on like percentage of the ballparks filled, but like you go down the list, like the Dodgers are number one, averaging like they have the biggest stadium. The Yankees,
All right,
massive
so yeah, all
stadium.
right. So we'll put this into perspective. So 2018, you'd have to I'd pay so much money to go watch a 2018 Boston Red Sox game anytime they were home. 35, 747 was their average. 2023, 30, basically 34,000. Sorry, 33,000.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like it's definitely lower than it has been in the past. I mean, I remember when we were like younger. When they had a string of how many games in a row that they sold out?
Like a
It was over
gajillion.
like 300 or something. But like you go down the list here. They pulled in more people last year than they did in 2022. They pulled in compared to 2018 per Baseball Reference, the Red Sox only pulled in about 205,000 less fans this year,
Two
which
hundred
is
five
about
thousand.
a little bit, it's about it's less
So
than
it's like
3,000
2,500
fans
less
a game.
fans a game.
Yeah, so again, I'm not saying attendance, they haven't hit the 3 million mark, funny enough, since 2012, but
People
it's not
and Fenway, bottom line, like Fenway's the place to be. Whether
100%.
the Sox suck or not, Fenway is still the best place to be in the summer.
I want to see, not I want to see, I don't want to see this, but I also feel like this is the last thing I'll say about this because this is not something I want to talk about. I want to see someone who like actually has season tickets do it. I don't need to see people who live, somewhere in the middle of Maine saying, I'm going to boycott the Red Sox. All right. Yeah. I'm sure you were going to go to more than two or three games this year already. Like, it's Twitter. You can't take it too seriously.
No.
People are trying to get the knee jerk reaction. I mean, the biggest thing I've seen is just like people attacking Jared for wanting to go to games
Yeah,
again. Like
our
you're
guy.
being ridiculous. You're being ridiculous.
I was scrolling through his Twitter earlier because it's taken up most of his Twitter recently, is just replying to people telling him that he's delusional for keeping his season tickets and continuing to go. And for a while, I mean, he fought a valiant fight and then he just replied to one guy. He's like, "This is my job." He's like, "I have to go."
Yeah, I mean,
Like,
I know
bottom
he
line.
responded today. He'd like post a picture of one of the tattoos he has. He's like,
Yeah.
"This is my life, man." Like, here's the thing: the Red Sox bring me a lot of happiness. Baseball brings me a lot of happiness. Like, I'm close to the stadium. I'm, a couple miles away. I'm gonna go to the games. At the end of the day, unless they're playing like baseball where they're, where they're going to win 65 games this year, I'm going to try to go to a bunch of games. And at that point, too, tickets are going to be like $5 a piece. So, you know.
Yeah, honestly, the worse they get, the more I'm going to go.
I know. That's how it is. I mean, the 2018 team, I know those tickets were like, you know, bleachers, 70, $80 every single night. So, you know, again, Fenway's going to be packed. I can understand frustration. The offseason is still salvageable. And again, I don't know if it's just being in the city again, but I'm excited for this team this year. I'm
You
excited.
say that every year.
No, I know.
Out
I
of
know.
me, you, and formerly Steve, Steve was always kind of the pessimist. I feel like I was somewhere in the middle, and you were always like, I don't care. The Sox are gonna make a wild card run.
I don't have Steve to pull me back now. But I do feel like I can never, I don't think in my lifetime, like since I've really gotten into baseball, like 2008, 2009, I don't think there's ever been a year where I've looked at a Red Sox team. You can dispute me, maybe the 2020 team, and been like, this team has no chance of getting a wild card.
It's too bad we started right in 2020 and we didn't start in 2019, because I would have killed to hear what your analysis of that 2020 team was going to be.
I would have too. I'm actually happy we didn't. Looking back at that team, and it sure is nice that we only got to or had to watch that for 60 games. I
I
can't
mean, it
even
was
say.
just the team, I guess, wasn't.
It was terrible. Like, who were those pitchers? I
It was the
swear
pitching that was the problem.
2020 was like a fever dream. I mean, you go back and those guys literally pitched 1 year in their whole
Like,
MLB career.
the problem was Ron Renicke was
All right. Being ageist again.
apparently. All right, yeah, no, this team was terrible.
Oh, terrible.
That, all right. Yeah, all right. All right, so they had Vasquez. Shit, I can't believe this was the
Like,
roster.
who is Robinson Lever? This guy pitched
Jose
six games.
Peraza was the starting second baseman.
Yeah, there was a Robinson Lever who started a game for the Boston Red Sox. Who is this guy? Those are the only six games he ever pitched in his career. That's what I'm saying. These guys literally, I swear, it was like MLB
Remember
The Show, create a player.
Yairo Munoz?
Dude, he had a solid year. I
He played 12 games.
remember at the end of, where is he? Here he is. God, about Yairo Munoz. Who was the, I totally
Josh
forgot about him.
Osich was on the roster.
Who is it? Oh, I'm thinking of Gorky's Hernandez. I don't know if he played on this team. I don't think he did.
Oh,
And
this is batting.
Jonathan, who is Cesar Bueyo?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm looking at names here. Like, again, we're both diehard fans. I'm looking down this name, like, list. And
It's absurd looking at Matt Hall's numbers.
he pitched so many games.
No, he didn't. He pitched
Wait.
four.
Oh, you're right. He did only pitch four. Why do I feel
Not
like
even a full 9 innings.
they had 30 different people pitch in 60 games? I mean, just insane. Remember Josh Osich?
How could I forget?
Remember at Winter Week? That was the 1 year I went to Winter Weekend, and they had this like pretty good group of players and former players there. And like you used to get a, I don't know if this is how they still do it, like a ticket into a room, and it's like a surprise room. And the door opens, the players come in. It's Fred Lynn and Josh Osich. And I was like, I don't know who the hell this guy is.
Freddie Lynn. Remember that Fred Lynn commercial?
Hell yeah. Hey, Freddie Lynn. Yeah, this team was terrible. Team was terrible. But again, we'll see. Red Sox need more pitchers. I guess we can brush over the Breslow. We already kind of talked about Warner a little bit. I'll read this quote from Breslow yesterday because I looked for an audio clip. Going to try to insert that into the show. Trying to get a little more high tech here at Gombrich. But I'll read this because I don't think there is an audio recording of it. But he said, as I've gotten to know this organization better through the conversations I've had with ownership, they absolutely are still supportive of assembling a World Series team as quickly as we possibly can. But I think the reality is that it's going to require a step forward from the young position players. It's going to require the build out of a talent pipeline of arms that we can acquire, draft, and we can draft in internally or develop internally, excuse me. And it's going to require aggressive player development in the minor leagues and the major leagues. So guys we think are the next wave, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and Kyle Teal, that group are not just big leaguers, but impact big leaguers. The convergence of all these pieces is the fastest path to a World Series team. We want to build this thing in a way that there's not just quality once in a while, but there's quality paired with consistency. Thoughts?
Look, I love it, absolutely every word of what he said. That's how you build a baseball team that's going to be good for 15 years. But the problem is that he said this, and the ownership group said, we're going to go full throttle. So that's where this disconnect seems. It almost seems like the ownership group doesn't understand what's going on day to day and doesn't have a long-term view on anything. They're just saying, we're going to throw money out and we're going to go full throttle. And it's just this empty promise where I give Breslow a lot of credit for coming out and saying the right thing and saying that to make this a sustainable, long-term, successful baseball team, we need to, number one, draft and develop very well and continue to draft and develop at a high level, which is great. Developing that pipeline of arms would be huge. And also relying on those guys like Meyer and Anthony and Kyle Teal. Like, yeah, those guys are the future. That's your big three in 5 years. You should be relying on those guys to be good. It's a lot of pressure. You don't know if those teenagers, I don't know if they're teenagers anymore, but people, you know, guys that are younger than us, crazy. It's a lot of pressure on them, but I think that's got to be the expectation. I don't think you can just expect, you know, I don't think you can expect the opposite. I don't think you can expect these guys to come up and not be the cornerstones of your franchise. So I agree with everything he said. Unfortunately, it's like 5 years away before those guys are not only in the majors, but are big league impact players.
I think it'll be sooner than that. I would certainly hope so.
Well, I mean, like you have to figure in the next year or two, all three of those guys are up, right? And then they're not going to be big league impact players as rookies, right? They're going to need 2 years to develop.
I mean, the only guy I can see coming up this year is Meyer. Like, I think Anthony and Teal are still at least another year away. I mean, you have to remember that Kyle Teal was just drafted. And
I would say Teal's the first guy to come up.
I really?
I mean, look at position of need. Unless Story goes down again, which isn't all that unlikely. If Story goes down, then I think you fast track Marcelo. But who's catching?
I feel it. I know they just signed a starting catcher for the Woo Sox.
If you can't name him,
a depth guy. I can't name him.
If you can't name him, he's not that good.
Here's my question. Do you think that, who do you think we're going to see in the majors first? Nathan Hickey or Kyle Teal?
Kyle Teal.
Really?
Because you want, I mean, I guess to some level, yeah, you want as much control over the guy as you can. But if he's developing at a rate to where you can't keep him down, you know, keeping him in the minors is going to stunt his growth, then you have to bring him up, right? He's your starting catcher for the next decade.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I want to see them all up as soon as possible. And like, hopefully, I would think Sedan makes the opening day roster. I would certainly hope so. But yeah, I mean, like real quick on the Breslow thing, like I agree what he's saying. I just think it's come too late, and I know that's not his fault because this is the Red Sox are still operating under the same philosophy that Chaim Bloom was, you know, kind of not completely forced. Like, I think they brought him in because he fit that bill of what they wanted.
This is not a Chaim team, though.
No, it's, you think it's better?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Breslow has already done way better than,
I think he's better at trading, but
and that's all Chaim did. He didn't sign anyone.
Yeah. So I'm optimistic, but again, like, I would have loved to hear this 2 years ago, not heading into this year. Like, again, I think, and it's tough because, like, obviously Boston sports fans, not even just Red Sox fans, are used to winning, and the Patriots have been, you know, bad. The Bruins and Celtics have been, you know, very good, but still, no, you know, they can't finish in the playoffs. You know, we not to sound like that guy, but Boston sports, they haven't seen a ring since when? Like early 2019?
I
The
remember
Patriots won.
I saw an old I saw a tweet of like an old billboard, and it was I think it must have been when the Pats were zeroing in on the Super Bowl, and it was like they were counting like days since last Boston championship, and it was like 37.
It was probably after the Red Sox won in
It
between.
was. It was like that gap of, I guess, what would have been
Was
like
the fifth.
November to February.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, like 37. This city has seen a championship in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not to get off track, but you'd hope the Celtics can do something this year.
I have no faith in the
I know
Celtics. They're
you're gonna say that.
bums. That picture on the plane that they posted, I can't
Didn't
wait.
get you fired up?
No, it got me the other way. I can't wait to use it when they get bounced in the Eastern Conference Finals again, because everyone's pitching a 10 over it, saying that this is like the picture of all pictures, and it's going to be plastered on everyone's inside of everyone's eyelids and on every billboard in Boston when they win the title. And I think it's just going to be the exact opposite, that it's this another just pillar of false hope that the Celtics continue to put up as this fraud of a franchise that hasn't lifted a banner in 15 seasons, yet every year it's, quote, their year.
18, baby.
Not
Year
happening. Not
ring
happening.
18. We'll
Not
see.
happening.
I hope this is the year.
I digress.
Anyways, getting back to the Red Sox.
I've hedged a lot of bets that the Sox are going to win a title before the Celtics do.
Interesting. I mean, I wouldn't complain about that.
No, it's going to happen.
You got anything else on the Sox? The only kind of last thing I like real quick kind of bullet points we have down here is obviously I think we talked about this last week. Owners won't be doing an open Q&A at Winter Weekend, but they'll be speaking to the media. I believe I saw on Friday, so in 2 days. So we'll see how that goes. And then it was the rotation somewhat announced as of right now: Giolito, Bayo, Crawford, Pivetta, and then Whitlock, Winkowski, and Hauk. The three of them fighting for that last spot. Does that surprise you at all?
No, but I hate it.
Me too. Need someone else. And then the last thing is Bayo apparently is open to an extension, or he had said he was hoping the Red Sox would come forward. They haven't worked on anything yet. I would love to see him and Casas get locked up long term.
Yeah, sign him to like Ozzie Albies deals where it's like 8 years for like $150 and
Gift
a vial
card
of
to
testosterone.
Chipotle rewards card.
Yeah, like a Dunkin' Donuts Platinum Rewards
Dude, I'd be all over
something.
that. I actually recently joined the Dunkin' Donuts reward system.
Yep.
Very good, like expenditure to rewards ratio. I
Really?
was very impressed.
Does it reward like the daily driver?
I don't know. I mean, I only go like once or twice a week.
Oh, okay.
I don't go every day. I don't drink coffee, but like every so often, especially like a Sunday morning, a bacon, egg,
Yep.
and cheese from Dunkin'
Hits.
does. It revives you a little bit.
Hits.
That is the only time I'll go, but like you can get some good rewards from Dunkin' Donuts.
There you
Uh,
go.
you, you got you got anything else on the Sox?
Yeah, sign Jose, whoa. Jose, what the f
Jorge?
Jorge Soler.
There you
Yeah,
go.
the name was thrown. I couldn't get the two S's out. Yeah, no, sign him. He's the best guy that you can get. Righty bat with a cork in it against the wall. He'd hit a trillion doubles. I don't think that home run he hit in the 2019 World's 20 the 2021 World Series that he hit against the
Yeah,
Astros,
that was a nuke.
that thing still hasn't landed.
Absolute nuke. You want to talk about something a little more fun here? This is the
Let's. I want to see how far that home run was, but yeah, let's hear it.
I believe it was like 450s. This is the we're in the final stretch of Hall of Fame voting, Hall of Fame results. I believe, let me look it up. I believe it's either next Monday or Tuesday. I know it is one of those 2 days.
It's a week away. Or we're inside the last week.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's less than a week. It is. Why can January 23rd? So yeah, a week from yesterday, next Tuesday, we're gonna have what?
You want to know how far that home run was? This can't be right.
462.
Oh, all right. So this is what it rolled. You want to? All right. Take a guess what it rolled out to be.
I don't know. Texas is pretty flat. Like 505.
It says 530 to 540.
Jeez. Thing rolled to the old Astrodome.
Yeah, 440 off the bat. So I guess it rolled another like 100 feet. Holy shit.
That's crazy. I would love to know like
what went over the Mass Pike.
What?
He'd put one over the Mass Pike at that
certainly.
Point.
Certainly. I wouldn't be opposed.
Every time I drive by there on the Pike, I'm like, damn, it really is like right on the Pike.
It really is. I mean, your chances are insanely slim, but like you are when you're in your car driving on the Mass Pike. If Fenway Park is like right there.
Yeah, you kind of don't realize how close it is.
No, it's insane.
Solaire, like, I bet, would put like three on the Pike.
Even the parking garage right behind the Monster. I mean, watch out.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, not great. Anyways, we are at 168 ballots cast. That nets out to just about 44% of the total votes, which we now know. And we've got four guys who are currently tracking at over 75%. Adrian Beltre, he's a shoe-in, 98.8%. You know who didn't vote for him, Clausen?
Huh?
You know who didn't vote for him?
Dan Shaughnessy?
What?
Who didn't vote for him?
Shaughnessy voted for him. Maz.
No way.
Yeah. I thought I sent you that. Maz was one of two guys not to vote for Adrian Beltre.
That's absurd.
He tweeted out something about like, there are so many good candidates on the ballot this year. It has been a very like tough consideration of who
Shut
to
up.
Vote for. He voted for just A-Rod and Manny.
So he only voted for steroid guys.
Yep.
That's absurd.
Yep.
I can't find him on the list. Where is he?
He is row 126.
That's bonkers. Amazing.
Bonkers.
Someone's got to study his brain when he dies.
He sure does have a way to get people engaged.
That's outrageous. For sure. I can't believe that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing Boston proud.
Beltre must have like ignored him for an interview 15 years ago when he was in Boston and he just held a grudge.
I don't know how you
Maz would be the guy to do that too.
Totally. Totally. I don't know. I guess you can kind of make a case for a lot of these other guys where it's like, if you're a really small hall kind of guy and be like, they have to be the best of the best or I'm not going to vote for them.
Yeah.
But we're talking Adrian Beltre. Guy had over, 3,000 hits. Did he have over 500
this
home
guy,
runs?
All right. So the other, all right, maybe this was like a thing. Because the other guy vote for? Bill Ballew.
Yeah.
Also only voted for Manny and A-Rod.
That's what I'm saying. Small hall kind of guys.
But why Manny and A-Rod? Like, it's just strange that the two guys that didn't vote for Beltre only voted for Manny and A-Rod.
Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is.
I think I looked him up afterwards. That's my favorite thing to do is see all the people trashing on them.
Oh, he's a Sox guy.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's great. Man,
covered the Boston Red Sox.
Beltre
must have pissed someone off in an interview, and these guys just didn't forget it. What a loser move.
Oh, terrible. I do think, though, the worst ballot that I've seen so far was the one I sent to you and Steve last night.
Yep.
Mark Purdy votes for three guys. Adrian Beltre, great. Billy Wagner, great. I have no problems with that. He drops Todd Helton from his ballot the previous year because Todd Helton must have had a bad season last year or something.
Sure.
And picks up the guy who's done some not great things and also just didn't have a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion. Omar Vizquel gains his vote. Puzzling.
Weird.
Does he not know he only gets – or he gets more than three votes?
Weird.
Bizarre.
I
don't
want to know
understand.
Who's voting for Bobby Abreu.
What?
Some of the – I don't know. These guys must have like good. I wish they could publish their rationale. Like the Globe, I'll give them credit for. They actually wrote an article about why they voted for who. So you can't just, I feel like it's just so lame to A, not publish your ballot, and B, submit a ballot and not have any.
Like reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
I do agree with you that I feel like that would be a nice compromise to this. Like why they don't have that.
Because I'd kill to know why someone voted for, you know, Bobby Abreu, but not, who else did they vote for? Dave Brown.
No, there are definitely some like weird ones.
Like,
Like
why do you?
I'd love to know like the guy who didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. a couple of years ago. Like why?
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I
Or like
don't know much about Bobby Abreu. Like, the rest of his ballot's good. Beltran, Beltre, Helton, Joe Mauer, A-Rod, Sheffield, Chase Utley, Billy Wagner, David Wright. Like that's a
decent.
respectable ballot,
Yeah.
but why do you throw Bobby Abreu in there?
I feel like Bobby Abreu is not even the most outrageous case. He's at 19% right now. Like, I want to
Yeah.
know, not because I'm mad at him. I think it's a funny vote, but like, I want to know why Joe Reedy voted for Bartolo Colon. Like, I want to know.
That's got to be one of those, like, you have too many votes and it's man. Like, who doesn't like Bartolo?
Yeah, I know. Maybe he was friends with him. But getting back to
I
the
voted for
numbers right now,
Mart.
what? You know, someone voted for Victor Martinez. There are the other three guys tracking over 75%. Joe Mauer at 82.7, Todd Helton at 82.1, and Billy Wagner at 79.8. The next
Be
closest,
close.
Gary Sheffield at 74.4. How many week out we've got just about half the ballots. How
Yep.
many speeches are we hearing next July in Cooperstown?
So let's look. So I think Beltre the lock. Helton, he barely missed it last year. So I think Helton,
Close.
yeah.
I think my thing
He.
with Helton, real quick, is that he's somehow dropped a vote from last year. He's gained four, but five people have dropped him.
Which is what? Yeah. Oh, he's negative one.
But he is 9 out of 10 for first time voters. So he gained some tallies there.
That is weird. Yeah, I don't understand the whole like hazing thing before you go into the hall. Like, make him earn it. Like, make him sit. It's like he's in his sixth year. Like,
I
what's the
just don't
point?
understand how, if you voted for him before and you ha still have votes, how you don't again.
I don't get it. Anyway, I'm gonna say good faith. Adrian Beltre makes it. Todd Helton makes it. Joe Mauer makes it. And that's it. I think they make Billy Wagner wait.
I think that's fair. I think
You know, the guy I could see on the cusp is Gary Sheffield, just because he's in year 10 and he's picked up 11. He hasn't lost a single vote.
Yeah, I think Sheffield is, I think he's still going to miss it. Like he was at 55% last year. He's tracking, yes, at 74.4% this year. The only thing I'm looking at that makes me think that like he's not going to trend well. The thing is too, this is like your first year following this. This is like my third year. I check this thing like almost every day. Some of these guys, especially the steroid guys, they take like a couple point fall during the announcement from like what was tracked before, because I think a lot of people like obviously they just don't want to vote for them. They don't want to make their ballots, you know, public. I think a lot of people do take pride in like voting for these guys and being like, yeah, I'll still vote for them, you know, despite what they did. But he's gained 11 votes. He missed last year's cut by 78 votes.
A lot of votes.
It's a ton. He is just 70% from the newcomers. Anonymous ballot, 63.6%. I think he'll get around 65%. I think he's still gonna miss it. But I like your take. I think Beltre and Mauer first ballots are definitely gonna get in. I think Helton's gonna be really close,
He
but
only
I
missed
think
it by he's down one though. He doesn't have many votes to make up.
I know. I think Helton's gonna get 75.7%. That's my
Yeah,
guess.
I bet he's just over.
I bet he's just over. And if not, I bet next year. And I think Billy Wagner, Wagner's so close to 79.8% right now. I think he's just gonna miss it this year. I think he's just gonna miss it. I think he
I
does
think they're
get
going to
in
make him
next year.
wait.
Just gonna get in next year. But yeah, then going down the list, like, you know, Sheffield will be off the ballot next year. I'd be surprised if he gets in. Andrew Jones, 72%.
He's creeping up, man. He deserves to be in the hall. He does.
Absolutely. He's in his seventh year. I would think by the end of it, he gets in. He was at 58.1% last year. Excuse me. Year before, he was tracking at, where was it? 2022. Andrew Jones was sitting at 41.1%. So I think we'll see another solid jump for him, maybe around 65%. And then you go down the list, like Beltran has had a good jump. He's gained 16 votes this voting cycle. He's up 67%. And then you got a bunch of guys in the 40s. Utley, A-Rod, Manny's a little bit below that. In the teens, you got Abreu, Pettit, Rollins, Vizquel, and then just over the 5% mark, you got K-Rod, David Wright, and Mark Burley, and then a few guys sitting in the red who have gotten votes but would not be eligible to return
Yeah,
as of right now.
no one under the 5% really surprises me. Bautista, I didn't think had a chance. Burley, I don't think will last.
I think Burley will stay on. He's been
He's
like
lost
hovering above.
five.
Oh, he has. You're right.
Yeah.
I bet he still got 10% last year. I bet he'll be around like 8, maybe. I'm curious to see if Torrey Hunter sticks around. He was at 6.9 last year.
I doubt it then.
In his fourth year, he's just been sitting there.
The only thing about Torrey Hunter is that when, not if, what's his name? Andrew Jones. When Andrew Jones makes it, that I think will open up a few more votes for Torrey Hunter because they're so similar.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think it doesn't make a it doesn't make it a mile to the 75%. I think he's still way off, but I bet Torrey Hunter, when Andrew Jones makes it in, gets a couple extra percent.
Extra. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, thing is too is if they're able to clear off four guys off this ballot, like things are going to open up a lot next year. Like you've got, you know, like Manny, A-Rod, Andrew Jones, probably Beltran, and you know, guys like that who are going to remain on the ballot, Chase Utley as well. But got an interesting like class next year. Ichiro is 100% going to get in next year. CC Sabathia, I would think, is also going to get in.
I can't imagine he won't.
And then you've got a bunch of other guys who like, you know, borderline cases, like a Curtis Granderson. I'm not saying he's a Hall of
No,
Famer, but he had
no.
good numbers.
He'll make
Felix
it like
Hernandez, Ian
5%.
Kinsler, Dustin Pedroia, Brian McCann, Hanley Ramirez.
I'm curious to
We'll
see where
see.
guys like Hanley and Petey end up, because I mean, they really were great players in their primes.
Yeah.
Hanley did get kind of mixed up in that fentanyl ring
Yeah, that was
after he
weird.
retired, which probably
Wasn't that
wasn't
not
good.
real?
I think he did get cleared of it. That was a wild story,
That was
though.
weird.
He was in Cleveland and played like three games and then
I thought it
got a
was the
lit.
year like the Red Sox released him. I can't remember though. That was weird.
I'm pretty sure he was on Cleveland.
But yeah, we'll see with a bunch of these guys. Like I'm curious, like a guy like Felix Hernandez, I would think at least gets like 5% of the vote to stay on. Like I'm curious to see. We'll see how that goes. Not a lot of free agent news this week. Clauston kind of mentioned only thing Marcus Stroman to the Yankees. I said you guys. Damn, I was out of habit. You got anything on Stroman?
I think that Yankees locker room is going to be a disaster.
You just gotta pray for a slow start, don't you?
I really just pray that they sign Germán too.
I don't think they will because he actually took his number.
Not probably not, but can't you imagine just the blowout that would happen between Stroman and Germán? I mean, they're just divas. And then Doogie would somehow make it worse. He'd make it about himself.
I don't know. The Yankees team is shaping up to be very, very interesting next year.
It's
I'm
gonna be
not.
Stanton lost a bunch of weight.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, Pap tweeted out, he's like, I'm putting the farm on the under for Stanton home runs. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, man. Stanton's got a big year to prove here. I could definitely see him being like a candidate for being DFA'd at some point, like this year, if he's having another really bad year. Yankees just try to dump that contract.
Other flip side of that, if he has a good year, he's definitely getting shipped off.
He's nasty. He's nasty.
But yeah, Yankees are going to be, they're either going to win like 96 games or like 76 games.
Closing out the ninth. As we head into the back half of January here, Carson, you got anything to start us off with?
I don't know. I want to say sign someone, but I feel like that's not a realistic thing to say anymore.
It's been quiet.
It's been really quiet.
I think there's a chance about Montgomery.
I don't know. I think they need to, if they're going to sign anyone, it's going to be after they trade someone. So I'm going to say trade someone.
Make a move.
That's my mission for the week. Trade someone.
I like that. I just want to see some shakeup. Let's see something that moves the needle a little bit, gives us something to talk about. My closing out the ninth thought is just going to be that I very much look forward to going to Fenway Park this season and being there with all the fans who want to cheer on the hometown Boston Red Sox. Clausen?
Yeah, I forgot something else. Last week's episode, if you listened all the way to the end, I was inspired to start a new cash considerations. Wrote to the show. Right fielder for the Giants.
Gotcha. Are you just
Power
getting
bat.
practice in? Because I thought we were going to start that with when the new show comes out.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I was, I just needed to start over.
Yep.
The old cash considerations had kind of proven his mark in the majors. It was time to start a new one. But he's sick. He wears number 31, because why not? And beefy white guy, long mullet, nice. He's got like a handlebar mustache.
There you go. You can't not put like cool facial hair on
No,
your
I
way to
mean
the
you
show
gotta make
player.
your you can't have like a buzz cut and a clean shave
No,
in Road
that's
to the
no fun.
Show.
Yeah, we're not playing for the Yankees here.
No, you gotta make your guy as just outrageous looking as possible.
Yeah. I tried going back into my guy who was forced to retire. All I can do is look at his career accolades.
Is he a Hall of Famer yet?
Yeah, he made the Hall.
There you go.
But just two home runs shy of 700. At least he passed A-Rod.
It's outrageous. 20 something
True.
years, can't hit 700 homers.
Amen. Amen. I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, if you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at GonBridge Podcast and Twitter at GonBridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Stitcher.
And we'll be back next week. Number next week. Episode 146
146.
next week. I want everyone to just stay tuned because we got some fun content coming up soon on the show. So just stay tuned for that.
Stick around for another like month. 150 will be a good one.
150 will be a good one, but we got lots of good stuff planned for the 2024 season. Stick with us. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And see ya!